All right, welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Download. Chase, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks, man. How are you? It was a big day for you yesterday.
Yeah, pretty big day. I got myself a little present.
Congratulations, man. I know you've worked hard for it, so congratulations.
Dude, it kind of kicked in at just like how much money I spent, and it started to scare me a little bit, and I'm like, what have I done?
Is it making you feel like you have to work harder? Like, is it motivating you to work harder?
Definitely. I'm also just like a little bit shell-shocked right now. It's like, after everything, bro, it's $500,000 car.
Jeez, yeah. Between the car, the insurance, the stress.
Oh, yeah, bro. So, yeah, no, the stress is the most costly thing.
Yeah.
Also, dude, congratulations. Dude, I'm all oily. I got a massage this morning. You ever had a lymphatic drainage massage?
No, I've never even heard of it.
I think it was a scam. I don't know. The masseuse was really cool, though. She said that she like massages DJ Khaled and like some of the Heat players.
Damn.
So that's kind of cool. Maybe she's my in. Maybe I can make a track with DJ Khaled now.
Have him on the pod. Next week, DJ Khaled's coming on the pod. Could you imagine?
Yeah. But yeah, dude, no, it's been a crazy past couple days, and I'm excited to do this podcast.
Let's do it. Let's dive in. Let's get it.
Okay. First topic is sort of like a reflective question where I'm curious if there's ever been a moment in business or your personal life where your ego has held you back. And I'll give you an example because I think after hearing mine, you'll definitely have one. So I've been making TikToks for 2 years now. I started in like February or March of 2022. And since then, because I kind of had really, really fast growth and started blowing up all of a sudden, I became kind of known as like the TikTok guy. And I've kind of always had this like imposter syndrome because I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but like, I'm kind of just doing it anyways. And so I realized that like, because people keep telling me I was the TikTok guy, I would just kind of do my thing. And my results were like, at least in the past little bit, like a 5 or a 6 out of 10, they're definitely not like the 10 out of 10 like they were before. And so I was thinking, I was like, no one can tell me shit with content. I was like, dude, I kind of got this in the bag. Like there's no one that I would really listen to on this. However, I realized that there's probably a lot that I could learn. And so I recently just hired this guy who's like a content coach. And I'm probably not going to use everything he tells me to do, but it's definitely cool to have a second opinion on a lot of this stuff and just sort of get someone to, you know, give me hook ideas and give me inspiration and also just accountability for like actually making TikToks every day because it's something that I don't really enjoy doing. Like I find it like really, I don't know. Like I hate posting videos when I don't really know what I want to say. Unless I have a banger, I don't want to talk. Yep. And so I'm paying this guy now monthly he's coaching me. He's coaching Jimmy. He's coaching Rob the bank. And so he's kind of like just like our in-house like little content coach guy. And I think it'll help. I haven't really used any of his stuff yet. So I don't know if it's like, if it's good, but that was something that I had to like mentally get over to sort of put myself in the frame of like, all right, maybe I'm not the expert. Maybe there are other people that know stuff that I don't know. And I should probably listen to them so I can be net positive all around.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? Cause everyone tells you that you're the expert. You're doing better than probably majority of people. You're probably in the top, 1% on TikTok, maybe even better. I don't know. But based off of following and kind of engagement. And then for you then to go from like the master to now the student, I think mentally and psychologically, that probably is a tough thing to do. But hopefully at the end of this, I don't know, probably about 3-6 months, hopefully you're in a better spot. And you're like, I really benefited from that. Or maybe it's just like you posted every single day and that was worth you paying because the results of your own account, just based off what you know, could go up. So that's interesting. How did you find and vet this guy? Is he a TikToker himself or is he coached other TikTokers?
Yeah, he's a TikTok guy. He does pretty well. It's not like he's in the money niche. Like he does just more generic videos for like a young demographic.
Okay.
And like he's posting so much that he'll have like 2 or 3 viral videos a week.
Wow.
Not viral, but like enough where like if I had his views, I'd be making a lot more money. And he recently moved to Miami. I already knew who he was. Like we talked a little bit before. He's not the best at monetizing. And so like my squad was kind of helping him with that, like how he can, I guess, use this vehicle of content to make more money. And he's kind of just reciprocating. So we're kind of both like teaching each other. So since he's moved down to Miami, that was actually another video that I did, Miami Effect, where as soon as you move to Miami, you start making way more money because of this, where it's just like you meet a network and stuff like that.
But proximity. Anyway,
yeah. So we know him as like a content killer. Like he does really well. And we kind of just convinced him to start letting us pay him to coach us.
Sweet. Can't wait to see the results of that. So when do you start that, in terms of a coach, in terms of like things that I didn't do that I need to do?
Yeah. More like any time you've had to put your ego aside and, you know, in order to be better. Like, for example, I'm sure you've never had to hire like an email marketing coach.
Right. Yeah, no, I started with a course. It's interesting. Like I found like with email in particular, because I'm giving so much information out there, so many people are testing what I'm telling them to do that they're getting mixed results. Some are following it to the T and getting great results. Other are kind of doing deviations of it and getting great results. And others are not doing it at all and not getting any results. So I think part of like just putting content out there for me has given me a, you know, kind of an active feedback loop where I've been able to see outside of my data set and how I did it, how other people are doing it too. So I think that's kind of been helpful. Trying to think, I think probably like sports would probably be the most relevant one I can think of quickly is, you know, with sports, like, you know, your whole life you have coaches and trainers and people that are always trying to make you feel better. And you get to a point where like, oh, I'm playing at this top club or I'm playing at some level in college. It's like, I don't really need this, but you know, all the best people, whether it's LeBron James or Steph Curry or you know, whoever, right? Everyone could benefit from it. I think that's what you learn. So, I mean, I studied people, I paid people on LinkedIn to understand the algorithm and what they were doing. So I'm a huge believer in like the shortcut to success is paying successful people to learn what they know and learn what they're doing and just save a bunch of time and you spend a little bit of money and it's worth it.
100%. Yeah. You're buying your time back.
Yes.
And actually, while we're on the topic, on like the ego thing. So my dad texted me the other day. Let me actually pick this
up. Your dad's a cop or retired cop? Is he an active cop, retired?
My dad's an active cop. And he texted me, he goes, can people really make money on dropshipping? And I said, oh yeah, why? He said, just wondering, who doesn't love passive income? I said, one of the least passive things you can do, but I know some guys doing pretty well with it. He said, if I wanted to learn how to do it, where would I start? Reddit? And I basically told him like, this is not the business model for you. Like, don't try and do dropshipping. But if you're actually trying to find a way to make a little bit extra money, like I could probably think of something for you. And so I haven't really come up with anything yet that he could probably do, but something unique. I've been brainstorming, like if he were to just like, kind of start fresh, like could he do it? And I feel like his work ethic is there. Like he's like old school, like, I don't know, just never take a day off, like never take a sick day, just like grind 12 hours a day just because like, he feels like that's what he has to do. And he's made it pretty high up in, you know, his field. And I feel like the only thing that would hold him back from like doing something that we do, like some sort of online business, is the ego thing where it's like he's been sort of like the boss for a while. And for him to sort of like come back down and start fresh in a new industry and be a student again. And just like, if he was going to, he's not going to do copywriting. He said he doesn't want to, but if he was going to do that and he's just sending cold emails and cold DMs, like, would he have the humility to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably the biggest thing. So I feel like to make big leaps, you have to like humble yourself and I don't know, do something that you never thought you would have to do again. Like kind of go back to like step one, which I don't know.
It's wild to think of, like, as you're saying, I was thinking about like my parents, like I couldn't imagine them doing the stuff that we're doing, like posting on TikTok and posting on Instagram and posting on LinkedIn and Twitter and doing newsletters and writing copy and sending cold email. Like, I just can't picture my parents. And it just feels like what we do is like a young generation thing. I don't think that's necessarily accurate. I'm sure there's a lot of great people that are older, but it's just weird to think about them. Yeah. Starting fresh. My mom has been a pharmaceutical rep for 30, 35 years at the same company. She's done well, but I couldn't imagine her doing what we do, like sitting at a desk at home, sending cold emails. Like, she's just used to being in the field. And like your dad's used to being in the field. There's action, there's excitement, there's a lot of the stuff. So it's interesting. Yeah. I never really thought about my parents doing what we're doing. I don't think they're built for it.
Funny thing is, my mom is actually doing it. Like, is
that what you mentioned? Yeah, the fitness stuff, right?
Her fitness coaching, but like, she was a teacher for like 15 years, 20 years. And she just dropped it. Like last year, like, yeah, this time last year, she quit and just started doing this full time. And like, she's making money, like making TikToks and Instagram reels, like every single day, getting on sales calls. Like she has an email list. I think there's a couple hundred people on there. And I told my dad, I was like, dude, like I help mom. Like I can help you.
So, does your mom feel like, what are her feelings? Like, does it feel natural and comfortable for her? Does she still kind of feel like the imposter syndrome? Like, where is she at in her journey?
Okay. So when she first started, she was kind of just following instructions from like me and Griff and Ben too. Okay. To help her as well. And we were like telling her what to do, but we didn't really tell her why, because there's just like so much to explain. Like all we were saying was just like, all right, post TikToks like this, funnel traffic to this place. And then, you know what I mean? And so she didn't really have a complete picture of like what she was doing. And so, yeah, she definitely felt a lot of the imposter syndrome. But in the last, like, I want to say 8 months, she has really sort of like come into her own.
Nice.
In terms of like how she makes content and like how she sort of like asks questions. Like now she knows what to ask. Before she was just like, I don't even know where to start. So like she understands the business now. Like she definitely knows what she's doing. There's like so many tweaks that can be made and so much testing and stuff, but like it's there. Like she's making sales.
Good for her. That's amazing. I'm going to ask you more about that after. That's sick.
Yeah, cool. You want to move on?
Let's do it.
All right, dude. So you tweeted, was it yesterday?
Yeah, past few days. Yeah, for sure.
You tweeted that you had a conversation with an A-list actor about LinkedIn.
I did.
Are you able to share not who it is, but what were you guys talking about? What, like, how did that go?
Yeah. So we're friends with this family, and the friend that we have of the family, the daughter, she's married to this A-list actor, and they've become like the it couple in Hollywood, her included. And ironically, the guy from Built, my buddy from Built, is in the family as well. He's the brother-in-law of the girl that's married to the actor. And then there's another brother that does real estate that does really, really well. There's another brother-in-law that runs like a hedge fund that does really, really well. Anyways, there's like five or six kind of dudes in the family, either the kids or through kind of marriage to the daughters, that are all like making seven, eight, I don't know, sometimes probably not nine figures a year. I guess one guy is doing nine figures a year, the guy from Built. And independently, they all came up to me. We were at like a party at the parents' house. They all came up to me independently, like, I heard you're crushing it on LinkedIn. I heard you're crushing it on LinkedIn. And some of the guys were just saying it in passing, like, congrats, heard LinkedIn's doing great. And I was like, how do they all know that? And I guess like some of them follow me on LinkedIn. Some of them follow me on Instagram. Some of them follow me on Facebook. So the actor and I were friends on Facebook. So he always makes fun of me for posting copywriting and email marketing on my story. And the newest thing I've been posting a lot about is LinkedIn. So he only has one social platform. And it's Twitter. I'm not going to say more than that. So he doesn't have Instagram. He doesn't have TikTok. He doesn't have LinkedIn. He's heard of LinkedIn, but that's like the it. So he was asking me just like, how does LinkedIn work? Like, how do you promote things? You know, is it for B2C? Is it for B2B? Because he owns a percentage of a large direct consumer alcohol company. So I think selfishly, he was interested in learning more about how maybe they could market it. And I'll just shoot him random ideas about like, he was going on tour to different colleges and different bars to promote his drink. And so I was giving him some ideas about like how to gamify that and turn that into a sweepstake where all the colleges compete to get him to go there. So I just sent him ideas and I kind of talked to him about stuff. So he, for 10 or 15 minutes, was just picking my brain on like, you know, how would a D2C brand do it? Does it work like that? You know, what are you doing? What have the results been? So he just kind of wanted to learn more, I think, selfishly and also for his company on like, is there an opportunity there and how am I doing it and why am I doing it? So it was cool. I got to talk to him for like 10, 15 minutes where every time I see him, I want to ask him a million questions. It's like, how was this event? How was that event? How was this? How was that? And I probably talked for about a half hour and he doesn't normally ask a lot of people questions and he kept asking me questions. I was like, this is actually kind of cool. So it was like a little humbling moment where I'm like, dude, this guy's big time. Why the heck does he care about some little LinkedIn influencer?
Dude, that's super sick.
Yeah, that's cool. And you know who it is. We won't say it on here, but you know who it is.
Oh, I know very well. Yeah, we don't have to tell anybody, but... I mean, I don't know. I just think that's cool. And I think it's a testament to like learning weird skills, like your niche knowledge of LinkedIn growth. And I guess just marketing in general has led you to be able to like provide value to important people that most people would pay to talk to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think going back to your first point, right? Like for him, like he's the guy that could and should have like the biggest ego in the world. And for him, you know, he kind of went into student mode. He just was asking questions. Some were great questions. Other were like basic questions. But if you've never been on LinkedIn, it's like, it's a legitimate question. So a lot of legitimate questions that he was asking, and some were really good questions and others were average. But for him to go into that mode of just trying to learn about something he knows nothing about, probably for him was humbling, right? He normally is like the guy, the man, everything he touches is like gold. Like he's blown up on the scene. So I think for him, like whether he admits it or not, like he probably keeps his ego at the door and is willing and open to learning from people, which is really cool.
Yeah. That's super cool. And like, it's cool because not a lot of people are like that. Like not a lot of people who are in his position will be like that. So good for him. That's awesome. Maybe one day.
One day, hopefully.
Like, I need to meet you first.
We're going to meet you together.
Oh, wait. I'm actually going back to California in like mid-April.
Mid-April? I'm home in mid-April. I'm out of town end of April, but I'm home in mid-April. Call me. Okay. All my people talk to your people.
Because I'm going solo because I got a couple podcasts that I'm supposed to do. So, okay. All right.
Bring the Ferrari. Let's do it.
I'll have my agent. Yeah. Yeah. I'll rent some piece of shit car. Cool. Dude, you know what sucks? Like, I'm a month away from being able to rent whatever car I want. Because at 25, you can rent whatever car. I'm a month away. And I go on Turo and I'll like see all these dope cars like this. I don't know. I saw like a cool Corvette and I saw like this Mercedes, like something, something. Yes. And I was like, man, that'd be so sick if I could get that. And then I click on it. And it's like, you need to be 25 to rent this car. And it's like, dude, I'm a month away. Like,
so how do you rent it? How do you rent it then? You have to have someone else rent it, or you have to go like through a big enterprise like Hertz?
No, I just have to like, I just have to get one of the shitty cars.
Oh my gosh.
They'll let me like get like the base model Benz or like a Civic or something like that. So I might just be driving around in just like some super basic car. But, like, I know that if I was like at the place, if I was at somewhere, I could be like,
you could convince
them. I'm a month away. Like, just let me, please let me have it. Anyway, whatever. Okay. But yeah, no, I'll actually come and see you. Okay. Last topic. The easiest breakthrough you've had with a business that you kind of were just like ignoring. And this is like different from the ego one because it's not an ego thing. It's like legit, you didn't know, or like maybe you're just being lazy or something like that. But what I'm kind of trying to hear from you is like the growth after you sort of realized what you could do with the LinkedIn thing, where you went from like, so it was like a cool side hustle to like, what did you do to go from like, I think you were at like 10, 15K a month to like now almost at 100K a month? Or are you?
Yeah, I think you said June or July of last year, you were giving me a hard time about it. Probably was at 10 or 15. I feel like when I actually started taking it serious was like after the holidays, so around like December or January. And at that point, we probably were at, I don't know, 30 to 50, 40 to 60. And fast forward a few months, like, dude, I got to double check, but I'm pretty sure we just did our first six-figure month for March. If not, we were pretty damn close, off by maybe a couple thousand. So, and granted, I'm still not working that hard on it, I'll be honest. You know, I'm focusing on it slightly more, probably spend like maybe a couple hours a week on it, if that. And most of it's just like answering questions for current clients. But the biggest thing I started doing was a couple things. One was on every newsletter of mine, I have just a small plug for it at the bottom. Like, hey, if you want to grow your LinkedIn following, go here. But for everyone that scrolls to the bottom, they kind of see that. And over time, it kind of plants a seed. Number two is I was actively getting screenshots of conversations we were having with clients. I don't know how many dozens or hundreds of screenshots I missed out on doing because I was just being lazy and it wasn't paying attention. So I've instructed my team anytime someone sends us something good to screenshot it and drop it into a Google Drive folder. So now we have this folder that not only is for us to post, but I actually link it to in the Google document itself when people are interested. I have like this folder of, I don't know, 50, 100, 200 something reviews. Some are video, some are just screenshots, some are just analytics. So being more intentional about collecting social proof, it was literally right in front of us, but we weren't capitalizing on it. And then making posts with it, right? Just things like, you know, when our clients win, we win, and dropping a screenshot of a guy that did a million impressions in his first 90 days. So I think it was just being more intentional with getting the word out there, posting it. And then sometimes I would forget, like I'd go a couple weeks without posting about it, but then I started turning on ads behind it. We talked about the ad before with you. You gave kind of like an organic testimonial of it on one of the podcasts. I clipped it up, I threw it on Twitter, and I just run track behind it. So I think it's just like people see my stuff probably every day, every other day, and it's just a matter of time. If they're going to consider LinkedIn, they're going to consider me. So I've just tucked the social proof that we are sitting on and just started distributing and putting it out there. And then the email educational course wasn't all that successful. I think we had like a dozen and a half clients from it, but it allowed me to aggregate content in a place that allows me to build trust, where over time, I think we will be able to drive more conversions for the people that are actually creating content the way that we want. So I think those are some of the things that we did.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't sound like it was too much of anything that was different. Like, yeah, you definitely amped up the volume, but like, you still are not near like maxing out promo.
Oh, you know? No, I'm leaving a lot of money on the table. Like, I've sent one dedicated email to my list. Like, if I did that, we probably could add 20, 30, 40 grand of MRR potentially, I think, with like an email or two. And I haven't done that. Why? I don't know. I'm lazy. I'm scared of getting too many people at one time where I'm not even promoting it super hard.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. But yeah, I mean, I think you killed it. I think it was right in front of you, and I'm glad you're doing it. My thing.
Yeah, well, let's hear yours.
Because I mean, you were there for this, but like the start of like real Copy MBA, like after our grand reopening. So we were kind of half-assing webinars. Like I was literally just promoting through TikTok and email and kind of Twitter, but like I was barely doing it, bro. And then I think something switched in like March where I was like, okay, I'm going to go way harder on this. And then I launched the high ticket thing. And that was like right in front of us. It was like, why aren't we doing a high ticket? Because like everyone who's making real money from info, they're doing high tickets, right? And so our first high ticket was 3K, which is like barely high ticket. And I remember I was slinging that over the phone. And so we went from like, I think 32 in a month, like, which was just us half-assing Webbies, like barely doing it. And then our first full month with everything going full force was like 350,000. In a month and a half or 2 months, we literally 10X or 11X'd.
Crazy. For you, like even taking one step back, it was, you know, in January of last year, or maybe December, January, somewhere around there, you had a lot on your plate, right? You had an agency, you had a community, you had the Copy MBA, whatever else you were doing. I think you made the smart move and the intentional move of kind of removing the diversification, get out of the agency, get out of the community, and only focus on this, right? And I think like the numbers, like in February, went up over January, and then March went up over February, and then April went up over the first part of the year, the quarter combined, right? So I think like even before that, you were intentional about removing things off your plate that you were kind of half in, half out. And then you realize that like you need high ticket and you need diversified traffic and you need to then, you know, now that you've mastered the calls yourself, I think you went like 28 for 30 or 38 for 40 in terms of closing people into the 3K program. And then you brought on the setter and the closer, and then you started in the webinars, and everything just kind of snowballed, and it's just been insane.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And it's funny because like the theme of this topic is like, there's always something right in front of you where you can easily make an extra few $100,000 in our case, I guess, that like sometimes you just ignore or you're too lazy to hit it or something like that. And like, it's a lot closer than you think. I feel like everyone has something like that where it's like, there's at least if you've been in business for a little bit, like if you're a year in or more, like there's probably something in front of you that you're just kind of ignoring that could make you a lot more money, but you're just not doing it because either you're ignorant to it or you're just too lazy to do it, but it's always worth it.
Heck yeah. That was great. I love it.
I think that's it, man.
Let's wrap.
All right. Thanks everybody for coming to the Diamond Download. Chase and I enjoyed having you, and we're going to see you next week.
Cheers, brother. See ya.